Okay. All right. Okay. Wednesday evening, 5/8/24. This will be the last, I believe, of the office of the prophet. This will be part 11. Amos 3:7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Revealeth means to disclose. God tells his secrets to his prophets. Like I said, as a prophet myself, the Lord gives me things for people, but I just sit on them until he instructs me what to do with it. And sometimes I don't do anything with it. He's just revealing his secrets. All right? The word out of the Strong's secrets. A session. A company of persons in close deliberation, by implication, intimacy, consultation, or a secret council. Yeah. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law, of this law. All right, we're going to continue looking in the New Testament at the spirit within and the spirit upon. Is it doing okay? All right. All right. We looked at the power and equipment to do ministry, which is grace. All right, let's look at to Romans 12 here. We're going to look at the grace gifts. I even taught this on TV this morning, but we were talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit and developing the inner life. That if a person becomes born again, God has something for them to do. And so it's up to the individual to obey God in this and get what it is from God. But no one can ever say, well, God didn't call me to do nothing. No, that's not true. He called, excuse me, everyone. It's like the body. I was looking in there, is it chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians 12 about the body? That we are a body and we have many parts. Let's just look at that right quick. Kind of have a leading over there. All right here, verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. That's like saying, God didn't call me to do nothing, just to be a Christian and sit on a pew. No, that's not what he did. He has something for everyone to do, and it's our responsibility to find out what that is. Think about it as a natural body. There's all the members of our body all have a function, right? All of them. All right. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Also talked about, when you find out what God has for you to do, then you stay in your lane. That's like your finger's going to do this finger, this finger, this finger. It does exactly what this finger does. It doesn't do anything else. It's not going to do what the toe does. It's not going to do what the eye does or the ear does or the mouth does. It'll just do what the finger can do. Point, point. That's all it can do. So when God calls you, he has a purpose. And so it's up to you to get in that lane and stay there. All right? For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? To say God hasn't called me to do anything is to say just what this said right here. Then I guess I'm not part of the body because I'm not what this part is. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? This is why so many people go to church or fellowships and they're so unhappy. And we've seen many fellowships and there's been many unhappy, disgruntled, gossiping, bite and devour one another over this very one thing. But if everyone was graced and placed, everybody'd be happy. Because everybody'd be in their niche and be doing exactly, they'd know exactly what God called them to do, and they'd be happy and fulfilled in it. The problem is, the toe's trying to be the finger. And it don't work that way. So, it's up to each one of us to do that. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We should never, ever feel bad about what God has called us to do, because that is our unique place in the body of Christ that nobody else can fill. Nobody. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? See, if every church did everything the same, nothing would ever get done, would it? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So God has placed you as it has pleased him. Yeah. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know what? When you're graced and placed, nobody can beat out of you what you are. And it don't matter what they say about you. Said, well, I know what God's told me, and I'm going to stay right here and do what God told me to do. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but it ain't changing. And those members of the body which they think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. This isn't, we're going to read here in just a minute, it's not about one having more power, or it's greater or whatever, and being jealous, that's not what it's about. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And it goes on to talk about the offices, like apostles, prophets, teachers, etc. So, right here, getting back to this one. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then it goes on to say, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God has put grace on you to do what you are called to do, and you're not to think of yourself, even if you stand in a higher office, you should not think of yourself more highly than someone in a lower place, because God has graced you both for this service. Prophets included. All right. So it goes on to talk about these different kinds of gifts. Well, you know, whatever God has told you to do, when you find out what it is, and he'll begin to show you how to do that. And he will put grace on you to do it. Like television, for instance. When I first heard I was supposed to go on television, it took me a whole year to do anything about it. Because I didn't want to go on television. That was scary to me. But from the very first moment that I sat down to do television, the grace came on me, and all I can say, it was the grace of God, because it wasn't me. And it's still the same way after nearly 16 years. Same way. God's grace is sufficient. And what do? We just stay in our place and keep operating under His grace. And one day we're going to hear, well done, the good and faithful servant. And it doesn't matter what position we're in, what part of the body we are, God's going to say, well done. Well done. And that's the key. All right. The grace gifts are by grace. By grace. Well, let me just read it, because it says exactly. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Rather prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Then it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So God gives it to us. There's no jealousy involved. We're graced and placed, and we serve each other. We love each other. We accept each other in our gifts. All right, Hebrews 10:29. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That's why I think about when someone says, oh, I ain't called to do nothing. Uh-uh. You will give account on that day, because God has something for you to do. So how do you do that? You pray in the Spirit. You say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He'll show you. Because he wants you to be a viable part of his body and doing what he's called you to do. And that might be prophet. You know, for someone to say, oh, I ain't a prophet. No, I ain't an apostle. Oh, no, I ain't this. No, I ain't that. You don't really know. And until you concentrate on finding out, you really don't know. I heard someone say that to me, and I said, you don't have any inkling of what God has put in you at this point. But it's up to you to find out. And I got to thinking about my own life. I didn't know way back whenever we were going to a certain church, and they asked me to teach in their homeschool. Not homeschool, but the Christian school. And I said, I don't know. I said, I'm not a teacher. And the Holy Spirit, I was in a pizza place, loud as inside of me, he said, never say that again. What if I'd have gotten what I said? I wouldn't be standing here tonight. But I didn't know there's more to it. And it's progressive. As we give ourselves to praying in the Spirit and seeking God about what He wants us to do, as we begin to go in that direction, He'll begin to turn us. And then He may turn us another direction and say, now I'm going to add this, and now I'm going to add that. That's what's happened to me. All right. Are there only a few called? No, all are called. Called according to His purpose, divine design. Not all are fivefold ministry, but all are called. We are under obligation to find out what our call is. Whether we do it or not, we will be held accountable for what we did or did not do. Now, you know, if you go home to be with the Lord, or if the some groups get their way and the rapture happens, whatever state you're in when you leave, if you're in obedience in that step, no problem. Right? Large or small is not an issue. Just obedience is the issue. That's all God is requiring of anyone. All right? 1 Corinthians 12, I just read that to you. I had it down here, and I didn't even know I had it down here. Yeah. It's not just the fivefold ministry gifts that are going to give an account to God. It's going to be everyone. And if you've sloughed off most of your life, well, there's still time. Maybe God will do some warp speed in your life and get it done faster. Say, Lord, I don't have enough time. Forgive me. I just didn't know. But show me, and I'll get in there, and I'll start doing what you asked me to do. All right? Okay. This is Romans 14, 12. It says here, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And then it says, I like this. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, that comes back to the love walk, honoring the other parts of the body because they have a significant part to play just like you do. And allowing them to be who they are, like I said, jealousy comes in and saying things that aren't kind come in when you don't know where you're graced and placed. Okay. All right, Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. They're there to help you find your way and hook in the body of Christ. All right, now flip back to Romans 15. And I myself, verse 14, also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Let me look here and see. Okay, 19. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. So Paul, he had his own lane that he had to stay in too. The only time I saw really, I guess he got out of his lane was when Peter started trying to put the believers back under the law. They kind of come unhinged. Yeah? All right. So even the ministry gifts stay in their lane too. All right, 1 Corinthians 2. This is 2, okay, starting with 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. See, there's a whole boatload of stuff God has for you. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's how we're going to learn, and that's why most people never find out, because either they're not filled with the Holy Spirit or they don't use their prayer language to find out. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. These are gifts God has placed in each one of us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We're never supposed to perceive it any other way. Nothing against seminaries and different things like that, but you better let the Lord lead you to those places. Because just to go to a place like that, to try to find out what you have or what you need or whatever, because most of the time they're going to gauge that by what you're doing in your natural life. And I'm telling you, it ain't the same for the most part. Okay? All right, you will not be required to do this job in the kingdom by your own power, but by the Spirit within and the Spirit upon, the Spirit of grace. All right. Grace out of the vines, the power and equipment to do ministry. This grace will be recognizable. I mean, for someone to sit down for the first time in front of a TV camera and all of a sudden the grace comes on them and they just, That's God. That isn't me. Or anybody else that's using their grace. Yeah? Just like Danny with his singing and the gifting of the Spirit with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Grace of God. We can't do any of this by our flesh. None of us. All right. Okay, Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Your gift will make room for you, and you will stand before great men. God will make a room for your grace that he's put on your life. It said they recognized the grace in him. Instead of saying, well, we don't want you. No. It's not the way the body operates. Okay. Demonstration, and the word demonstration means manifestation. So they saw obvious signs of the office that he stood in. All right, Ephesians 3. This is 3. There's just a couple scriptures here. The first one is verse 2. It If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. All right, then verse 7 I had down here. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul wasn't great because Paul was great. You know what I'm saying? It was the gift of God, the grace of God. Paul was known by the manifestation of power from the grace that was upon him to stand in the office of the apostle. And Jesus is our example. Jesus, Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He couldn't do it without the Spirit either. John saw the Spirit come upon Jesus when he baptized him. He come up out of the water. He said, I recognize this is the Son of God. All right. To not be graced and placed is to be false. We talk about false prophets, false teachers, things like that. And the churchy thing is if somebody says something, it doesn't come true, you're false, you're false, you're false, you're false. That isn't true. It may mean they might not be as informed as they need to be, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're false. To me, false means you deliberately go to deceive. You deliberately say false stuff to deceive people. But if you get up and say something and maybe you didn't hear the latest report and you say what you think about the matter and somebody comes in and says, you're false because you didn't get it right. No, that's not true with prophets or just normal people. Sometimes we just don't have all the facts and we don't get it right. Okay. All right. False prophets are just that. They are not graced in place. They deceive. Really, they should stick out like a sore thumb. When you got somebody that's graced, as opposed to somebody trying to act like they are, it ought to stand like a red flag in our faces. Jesus warned us about false prophets. All right, we're going to look at that right quick. Just a few scriptures and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 7. He said in 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So false prophets. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, sometimes, you know, people get it wrong. And they might have to get up and say, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. All right. Matthew 24. Verse 11. This is Jesus speaking here. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then verse 24, same chapter. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. False means mendacious, promulgating erroneous Christian doctrine. Yeah. Mendacious means deception or falsehood. Promulgating means pushing a narrative, a false narrative. Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. Acts 13. Starting with verse 6 there. And when they had gone through the isle unto Pamphus, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So Paul had that discernment. Okay. All right, 2 Corinthians 11. Gonna look at, let's start with verse 13 there. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Then verse 26, Paul said he was in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Yeah. All right, Galatians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated with them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mightily in me toward the Gentiles. To see what they were doing, they were trying to get everybody back under the law. You know, that was something that was straightened out, mainly because of Paul, you know, in the scriptures. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2. Alright. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Am I in the right? No, I'm in 1 Peter. I need to get in 2 Peter. Sorry. 2 Peter 2. All right. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's happening today. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them in chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to receive the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, brought not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's pretty serious right there. All right, 1 John 4. Get a drink. Verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. All right, I got three more. We'll be done. Revelation 16. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. All right, Revelation 19:20. And And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive to the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Then Revelation 20:10 be the last one. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.